Well, we were in prayer the other day, and seeking the Lord, and this word came to my mind in prayer. Conduit. And I didn't realize there was a message in conduit, but hopefully there is. Conduit is a natural or artificial channel through which something is conveyed, a pipe or a tube. Sounds pretty complicated, huh? A means of transmitting or distributing. And the archaic, it mentioned archaic, the word for archaic was fountain. This for the meaning of conduit, the archaic said fountain. So I'm doing a little bit of pipe work, and it was kind of strange, just didn't come to me outside when I was handling the pipe. It came to me on my knees. You know, I think probably we all take for granted turning on a water faucet and flipping a light switch. But 100 years ago, things were different. About 100 years. They still had outhouses. What would that be like going out in the winter, going to the bathroom at night? They had, they didn't have, you know, they had wash tubs. Hauling in all your water, drinking water. You know, it's, I guess we've got a little bit of taste of that right now. Not quite as bad as what they had, but I realize that you can take a shower with a little over about a gallon of water. Heat it up on the stove. You know, we just take things for granted, but pipes and wire are wonderful things. Pipes and wire are wonderful things. They're conduits. I think if we had to, maybe if we lost power or things got real dire, it'd probably really change our lifestyle drastically. We'd have to learn how to do things a little bit different. But it's a blessing to be able to have water in our, to just go turn the knob. But that just doesn't happen because we wish it happens or we want it to happen. It's because there's some conduit put in place. That we don't see all the conduit. Some of it's under the floor. It's what I'm doing right now. Putting wires, you put water pipes under the floor, you don't see it. It's not glamorous. But how profitable and beneficial it is to have it in place, to have running water, to have electricity in our dwellings. Those things are a great blessing to us, and we enjoy them very much. And it's just been 100 years, a little over 100 years, and they didn't have a lot of the 100 years is really not that, it's not that long. I mean, that's just if you figure 40 years for a generation, that's just 2.5 generations. It's not that far back. I know my grandmother had an outhouse out in the farm. It was my grandmother had an outhouse. That's what they had. That's what they used. So we are tremendously blessed But I'm thinking about God wants us to be a conduit for Him. God wants our lives to be a conduit that He can use, that He can send things through to help us and to help other people. He wants our life to be a conduit. And I was thinking about the woman that had the issue of blood. And it said she suffered many things of many physicians. But she sought the Lord. She said in her heart, if I can but touch the hem of His garment, she believed that she could be made whole. And so she pressed through the crowd. She pressed her way through the crowd. And it was crowded there. And she got close enough where she was able to lay her hand upon Jesus' garment. And Jesus automatically turned around and said, "Who touched me?" This is an amazing account to me. What makes it so amazing to me is that Jesus didn't give permission. He didn't give verbal permission or give a verbal okay that you can be healed. He didn't do that. She just touched His garment. And automatically He perceived virtue. It said virtue had gone out of Him. Automatically He perceived that something happened, and He knew it. He sensed it. And He said, "Who touched me?" And all the disciples are saying, "What are you talking about? You're thronged about people. What do you mean, who touched you? We're about being mutilated in this mob of people here." But this touch was different. It was the touch of faith. It was the touch of a heart that was seeking and yearning and believing and trusting. A heart that was needing help and reaching out. This touch was different than all the other touches right at that time. And virtue flowed. You know, it's just like the switch came on. It was like turning the light switch on. The conduit, the power was there, the place was there. It was there, it just had to be accessed. And the woman was healed. And Jesus didn't even say, "Go in faith, thy faith has healed thee." Or He didn't say, you know, He didn't say, "Be healed," or anything like that. He didn't do anything directly towards her. He didn't touch her. He didn't make spittle and make clay and put it on her. He didn't do any of those things. It was like it was almost, He didn't know. He knew virtue went out of Him, but He didn't know who it was. And He said, "Who touched me?" There has to be a conduit in place for these things. There has to be some conduit for, we don't just go and flip a switch and the light comes on, or turn on a fountain and the water comes on if there's no conduit. Thank you, Brother Gannon. But if there's conduit, if there's things in place that can flow through, if there's things that are put in place that something else can pass through to make the connection, and that's what we want to be, a conduit for Christ. We want to be a conduit for Him to work through. I think about the verse in John, the 15th chapter, and the 4th verse. The Gospel of John, 15. Jesus said, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. So, the conduit is not the power. The conduit is not the water supply, but it's connected. It's connected to the supply. You know, if we have a well, we've got a well. It doesn't do any good if there's no conduit, unless you got a bucket and rope. The well doesn't do any good unless there's a conduit, a pipe, and a pump that's on the end that is able to channel that and bring it to the house. When that's in place, that pump can kick on electricity, it pulls, it sucks that water, but that's the way it is with us. We don't have the power, we don't have the words, the wisdom, the insight, but when we're connected, when we have a connection, to the storehouse above, there's a connection that's got to come through. And the Lord is depending upon His people. He wants to work with through and His people, and He does. He works, but He wants us to be a conduit for His blessing. And it's not just for us. It's nice to be able to receive. It's nice to be able to have the Lord minister to our needs. But He also wants us to be a conduit that goes out and you can, I'm not a very good artist. Sister Lisa is. I just do the stick figure kind. But we can receive from heaven. And then the Lord provides opportunities for us. I believe if we're watching and we're looking, we can be a conduit of His grace and mercy that flows through our lives. But we've got to abide in Him. We've got to be filled with Him. That there's a scripture, Brother Galen, in that reading in Ephesians, the third chapter, it talked about being filled with all the fullness of Him. Now the Lord has a fullness. He has grace for us in our spiritual life. He has, if we're full, you know, if my pipes are full of water, it's just there. As soon as you turn on, it's there. You don't have to wait. But if it's got a lot of air coming through the pipe, or if air got trapped in there, then it's going to sputter and spit out until it gets a steady stream. So if we want to be a conduit, if we want to be a good conduit, we want to try to be full of the blessing of Christ in our lives. We want to be filled. We don't want to live our lives on empty or almost empty, because there's not much there if we're on empty. But if we're being filled with Him and allowing Him to fill our hearts and our lives, then when the opportunity comes, someone just like this woman hit the switch. It's there. It's there. But if we're not full, then we got to go and we got to go and the Lord will help us realize when we don't have what we should have had on hand. Lord, we need to go pray. We need to go get filled up. But it's important for us to be a conduit. Blesses our lives and it blesses those around about us. But the enemy would like to plug. He would like to somehow plug, stop up that flow, hinder that flow. And I wrote down just a few things that I believe the enemy that keeps us from being the conduit that God wants us to be. And one of them I wanted to mention, the first one is unbelief and doubt. The devil is a master at that two-letter word, if. He tempted Jesus that way. If. If he can lodge doubts and unbelief in our hearts, in our mind, it starts in the mind. But if he can begin to lodge doubts and unbelief, that's going to hinder. It's going to hinder the connection. It's going to hinder the flow of the Lord flowing through our lives. And the enemy does that. He's a master at doing that. He'll bring doubts of if and questionings, unbelief. Those things will hinder God's Spirit from working through our hearts. And it will hinder Him from, I believe, one of the Sunday school verses this morning, Jaslyn. She said, "He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." So when we come to God, we must believe and trust that He can help us, that He can hear our prayer, and that He wants to send aid and assistance into our hearts and our lives. If we come to Him in unbelief and doubt, that's probably better than not coming at all, but it will hinder our connection. We want to believe and trust in His goodwill, His love, and His help, and His mercy towards us. But that's one thing that the enemy uses, is doubts and unbelief to hinder our connection. And then at the other end, have you been, I don't know, those windmills, you see those windmills sometimes and the pipes coming out there and there's just nothing coming out no more. The windmill's up there blowing, turning around like it should, but somehow there's something that's disconnected. These things will disconnect and hinder us also from us having and receiving what God wants us to be. Another item, the second one I wrote down, is a preoccupation with earthly things. This is something that we all have to guard against and watch carefully, because it will steal from us every time. When I get over busy, when I get too consumed with the cares and the responsibilities of life, to the neglect of my spiritual life, my inner man, you know, we're going to come into situations where we need some power and it's not going to be there. If we're connected, if we're abiding in Him, there's no power, there's no hindrance. God can work. But if we get preoccupied, we get our minds too much on earthly things and we're not allowing the Lord. And the song came to my mind, it said, "Take time to be holy. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in Him. Confide in Him." And I believe as we do that, we can keep that connection as strong. But it takes a focus on our part to stay connected and keep our mind stayed upon Him. That other verse said that will keep Him in perfect peace. His mind is stayed upon Him, stayed upon Thee. You know, our connection to Christ is so important this morning. Another thing that will hinder our connection is wallowing in hurt feelings and offenses. You know, and I know that some of these things take time to get victory over. I realize that this morning. Sometimes we've got to spend time praying down grace to get victory over hurts and wounds. It's not easy. When people offend us, they run over us, they do us wrong, that's not easy to take. But if we're not careful, self will want to wallow in that. It'll want to stay there in that place, feeling sorry, self-pity. It'll want to stay there longer than what we should be there. The Lord has grace for us. We can overcome and be victorious, but we don't want to wallow in hurt feelings and offenses that come our way. Jesus said they're going to come. They will come. But Lord, help us just to brush ourselves off and get up and continue going, because this will shut our connection down real quick. This will shut us down from receiving what the Lord has for us. It will break the conduit, the connection. And another thing I wanted to mention too is Satan wants to devalue the gifts that God has given to us. If he devalues the gifts that He's given to you, and we devalue the gifts that God's given to us, something that you don't value, you're not going to use it. And Satan he'll say that. You can't pray like other people. You can't preach like other people. You can't give like other people. You just can't do it like other people can do it. That's devaluing what God has given to us. And if we devalue what He's given to us, then there's not going to be the conduit. We're not going to use what we're devaluing. The enemy's devaluing and causing us to devalue the gifts that God has given to us in our lives. We want to recognize the gifts that God has given to us. There's nothing wrong with that. If you have a gift of being able to communicate with people, that's a wonderful gift. You have a gift of being able to get close to people, that's a wonderful gift. We want to recognize and use those gifts that God has given us over and over, because that's a conduit. That's something that God can bless and help. I want to get another scripture in 1 Corinthians, first chapter. Paul mentioned here, he said in the third verse, he said, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ." Let's see here. Yeah, let's... No, that's not the verse I was wanting. I'm sorry. Let me try 2 Corinthians. Yeah, that didn't sound quite right. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. It said, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." Now, I won't go into that's another message, but I started coming across this word comfort, and it's all through the scriptures. Paul wrote to the different congregations. He sent other people, he said, for the purpose that he might know their affairs, and they might know his affairs, and that they might be comforted. And it's all through his writings, but the comfort is the knowledge and the presence that God, but he says that we're able to comfort others with the comfort that God comforted us with. Isn't that wonderful? So that's the conduit. It's not something that we've generated. It's not something that we've manufactured or made, but it's something that God has done for us that we're able to relate to others, that gives them courage, that gives them hope, that gives them comfort, that God answered prayer for you, He did something for you, and He's able, that gives them courage and faith that He's able to do something for them also. This comfort is a real important word. And so the things that God, you know, the human experience is similar in so many respects. You know, all the details may not be the same, and they won't be for every person, but there are a lot of similarities to things. And Paul, the things that was comforting him, it was able to be a comfort to someone else. And so our testimony, what God does for us in our lives, the Lord wants that to go down the pipe. that pipe that has no attractiveness to it, that has nothing of itself. It's just flowing down through the pipe and it goes to someone else along the way. And the Lord wants it. He don't want it to be, we don't want to allow the enemy to short circuit the conduit and the things. Now, I wanted to mention, because this really stood out in my mind, I wanted to get Hebrews 11th chapter and the 4th verse. Hebrews 11 and 4. It says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh." Now, that part stood out to me. That he being dead, he was slain by Cain, but his testimony still lives. The testimony, the actions of his life, the influence of his life, and that's what I want to encourage us with this morning, that our life does have an influence. Sometimes it looks like it doesn't. Sometimes it looks like it's just a... And the devil sometimes has a play in that too. But sometimes all we see is just desert, parched ground, and it's not doing much. But I want us to know this morning that a righteous life has a godly influence. It's an influence. The word influence, I believe, means an unseen power. It's something sometimes that you're not able to really just put your finger on it. But it's an unseen force, an unseen power that works in our lives. And I know, you know, have you ever walked up to a conversation and someone say, "Oops, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that"? Why are they apologizing? Because of the influence you brought to the conversation. Just you may have not have said a word, but your influence. And I believe this, our influence, our life lives on. And it still speaks. It says, "He being dead, yet speaks." I believe when we're long gone, I believe the influence of our life will live on. Bad or good. works both ways. But God wants it to be an influence for good. Another thought I wanted to leave with us this morning is, I read the song, there's number 161 in the Blue Book. It talks about make me a channel of blessing. And it talks a lot about speaking. And I know that is a blessing. And I believe the Lord does want us to speak when we can for Him, when we can give a scripture or something to direct the person's mind towards God. I believe that, but I want to say this morning that it's also sometimes when we can't say anything, it can be our actions. We can be our actions. And the illustration that came to me was the woman that came and broke the box of ointment and anointed Jesus for His burial. The Scripture doesn't say that she said anything. It doesn't say that she said anything. She may have, we don't know. But that act, it was an act of love. It was an act of devotion. It was an act of honor, respect. And Jesus made comment. He said, wherever the gospel is preached, this will be told in remembrance of her act, of her love, of her devotion, of what she did. You know, she's gone. But that one act still lives. It still speaks to us today. There's a saying that said, action speaks louder than words. You know, I thought when Jesus could have conveyed love to the world just through His actions. I'm sure He could. I mean, healing the blind, healing the lepers, all the things that He did conveyed, you know, His love, His compassion towards mankind. But I'm thankful He spoke some words too, because there were things that we needed to know. But actions and words, sometimes the door is closed for words. Sometimes the opportunity for words is not there. But you know, people can feel action. They can feel when there's love coming out through action. And maybe that's should be first. Maybe that's the first part. But Lord, help us today to be conduits for God, to be a channel of blessing where the Lord can bless us and He can bless those that we come in contact with. And I firmly believe in this too, that we can pray and ask God to help us to open the doors for us to be a channel. And I believe if we have that desire, we're in tune with the Spirit and we're watching and we're looking, the door opens so many times when we're just so much when we're unaware. I mean, I've marveled many times praying that, and it just seemed like, boom, there the door was open to be able to do an action or say something for the Lord. But let's be challenged this morning to be a conduit. To be a conduit. That's a tremendous blessing to me. Those pipes and those wires, that things are coming through, that they can come through us and come through other people. And I got this thought came to my mind too on this. Conduit, if you put an A in there, it says can do it. So through the Lord's help, we can do it. We can be a conduit for God. Pray for me.